Welcome, everyone. Thank you for finding your seats. My name's Aaron Noland, and they've given me a mic to preach for about 45 minutes before they do their thing. So get comfortable. There's coffee so that you can stay awake and be engaged. This is a little weird, and I am not doing that. So I'm going to interview Merle and Sue. This is part of a broader testing that we're doing with the pastors. That's a joke. That was sarcasm. No, we're actually here today to talk about mission and vision. And so the first question that we have is, what the heck is that? What are we doing here? What's a mission and vision? Why do we need to talk about it?
So when you think of the word mission, I'd love for you to think about, why do we exist? What is our purpose? So those are handy dandy definitions for mission. Why we exist? What's our purpose? And when you think the word vision, I'd love for you to be thinking about, where are we going? The future, a picture of the future. So mission is, why do we exist? What's our purpose? Vision is, where is God taking us? What do we see down the road? And Grace Covenant Church has a wonderful mission and vision. Mission, love big, grow deep, go out. The vision is to see thousands saved, healed, and passionately following Jesus. So that's, we exist to love big. Love the Lord our God big. Love others wholeheartedly. To grow deep into the image of Christ, grow into Christ's likeness, transformed. And to go out, take what God's doing in our lives, the love and the transformation, and share it with everyone we meet everywhere we go. That's our mission. That's why we exist.
Well, got it, mission and vision. So what's the deal with the couple situation?
I'd like to just thank you for dressing up for us today. That is a dapper tie.
All right, since we're going there.
Jamie color, I was told, since you're a Jamie professor.
Wear a coat and tie and shave. And I said, I will do two of the three. And then I got here, and Merle has no coat, no tie, and Sue said she did not shave. Now, carrying on,
focus,
battle of wits.
Focus. What was the question?
Why is it that we are up here, you all are up here as a couple talking about this? Merle could talk about it, you could talk about it, or if we're really brave, I could talk about it. But why are we doing it as a couple here? Or why are you doing it as a couple? I am not in this couple.
This is our date for the week. It's been one of those weeks. This
awkward.
Is our date.
Third wheel.
Not.
Melinda, come up here so we can have a double date.
Actually, I feel like talking about it as a couple is really reflective of mission and vision. If you were here last week, well, as Merle said just now, the mission is the why, and the vision is the where we're going in the future. And those two go together. So like Merle and I, as a married couple, almost 30 years in about 3 weeks, the mission and the vision go together. And as a married couple does, mission and vision complement each other. You don't want to be, or I wouldn't want to be part of a church that just had a mission. We knew why we existed, but we had no idea of where we were going. And I wouldn't want to be a part of a church that we knew where we were going, but we had no idea why. So the mission and the vision complement each other. And just like a marriage is work, if you've been married for more than a week, you know that marriage is work. Just like a marriage is work, walking out a mission and a vision is also work. As Merle said last week in his sermon, love costs something. So it's work. It costs something to love big, to grow deep, and to go out. And just like a marriage is a wonderful adventure of highs and lows and peaks and valleys, I think walking out a mission and a vision is the same thing. Highs, lows, peaks, and valleys.
Okay, great. So when I think mission, vision, values, I think my consulting days, corporate life. So what's up with a church needing a mission and vision and values?
Well, I would say that a church doesn't need to have a mission and a vision, and many don't. But I believe that it's good to be intentional about what God has called us to do. A mission, the why and the vision of where we're going, it gives us focus and it gives us clarity. It helps us decide what not to do. It helps us decide what God is calling us to. And so a personal example, 30-some years ago, our founding pastor had a night where he was ministering to the college students. There was a banquet, in a summer banquet. And in that meeting, he gave a word of encouragement, a prophetic word for every one of the college students there at that banquet. And the word he gave for me is that you're going to be like a Joshua and you're going to lead God's people into their inheritance. And that has been a guiding beacon light for my life. I have pursued opportunities to serve the body of Christ and to help God release people, help walk in releasing people into their inheritance. And so that has kept me focused through all of these years. And in the same way, a vision and a purpose for a church will give us focus and clarity on what to pursue and how to pursue it.
Yeah, and I also think mission and vision, it helps us in making decisions. It helps the leadership in making decisions. That's why we don't take advantage of every single ministry opportunity that comes down the pike. And we don't follow every single thing that other churches are doing because we want it to fit in with our mission and our vision. Great opportunity, but does it help us to fulfill our mission and our vision? As Merle said, mission and vision gives us direction and gives a purpose to the church. I mean, quite honestly, I would not want to be a part of any organization that had no idea why they existed or where they were going. Proverbs 29:18 says, without a vision, the people perish. Another version says, the people are unrestrained. And so I think without a vision, people have nowhere to go. They have nothing to pursue, nothing that breathes life into them. They're unrestrained. And so they'll just go anywhere and do anything because there's no purpose. And so everybody's just kind of each man for himself. And that's just not healthy. Mission and vision also give us markers to see if we're accomplishing and fulfilling what God has called us into. And I also feel like, you know, Jesus had a mission. Scripture says in Luke 19, for the Son of Man came, and I would interject why, mission, why did he come? To seek and to save the lost. That was his mission. And God has a vision in 2 Peter 3:9 that no one would perish, that everyone might come to repentance. So if God and Jesus have a mission and a vision, it's probably a good idea that we do as well.
I agree. So if I came today, I'm sitting out here and I had a rough week, or I'm starting to ask some questions about God, and now I'm here and we're talking about the church's mission and vision, how does that help me learn about God? How does it help me in my day-to-day walking with the Lord?
Well, our mission and our vision are rooted, anchored in Scripture. And so I want to just show the three passages of Scripture that establish that. So love big is anchored in this great commandment. A person came to Jesus and said, what's the most important thing to do? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. That's the first and greatest. And a second, equally important, is to love your neighbor as yourself. So our love big portion of why we exist is anchored in the great commandment to love the Lord. And I would just want to add that everything that we are saying today and everything that our mission and vision is based on is the love of God. It changes everything. The love of God. We sang about it this morning. It's overwhelming. It's never ending. Whatever adjective. It's unfailing. It's eternal. It's faithful. You can't exaggerate the love of God. And because of his great love for us, we love him in return and we love others. That's the one scripture. Another anchor of scripture is in Ephesians 3. Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. So the grow deep is from this passage of scripture, also in the Jeremiah one following there, you see it continues the roots growing metaphor. People who trust in God are like trees planted along a riverbank, roots that reach deep into water. They're not bothered by heat, worried by drought. Their leaves stay green, and they never stop producing food. Church, God is committed that we're never going to stop producing. We're never going to stop seeing people healed. We are never going to stop seeing people come to faith in Jesus Christ because of what he says, and he's committed to it. So that's our growing in the truth of who God is and who we are in Christ. Then the third verse, help me get to the next one there, would you? And that one is the Great Commission. So we had a little bit of three G's there. The Great Commandment, growth, the Great Commission. Just saying. Jesus was with his disciples, and he said, all authority in heaven and earth is mine. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them, these new disciples, to obey everything I've committed to you, and I'll be with you always to the very end. So, yes, Scripture is what our mission and vision is rooted in, and I'd like to think that we have this really short message-like paraphrase of the Great Commandment and the Great Commission in our mission and vision.
Yeah, I would just add, when you see our mission and when you see our vision, it's not just a catchy slogan that we made up because it sounded good. Like, it can all be, oh yeah. So Merle has the bracelet, which, where do we get these bracelets?
They're back at the information table.
They
for
are?
$100 each.
So if,
I'll sell you mine for 50.
If I had one, I would just give it to you. But but if you forget the mission, there's a bracelet you can get. But all, you know, the love big, grow deep, go out, and the vision, they're all based on Scripture. It wasn't just this, oh, we wanted to have this catchy phrase, and we don't really know if this reflects God's heart. It all reflects God's heart. The love big part, loving God in a big way, and loving others, all others. I don't know what your version of your Bible says, but mine does not say love people except love others, but don't worry about, that's nowhere in Scripture. Love all others. And Merle referred to the Matthew 22 passage to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. But also part of that love big is for us to readily receive his big love. Yes, we love others, but for us to be able to receive it, not feeling condemnation, not feeling like we have to earn it. I don't deserve it. I didn't earn it. But like, to we
still
need to learn. Okay, this is my turn. This is my turn.
It's a date.
Our dates get more lively than that sometimes. So we need to learn how to receive that love freely. And to be honest, that's probably one of the harder parts for me, is not to feel like I've got to earn it. Was God happy with this? The grow deep part, Colossians 2:7 says, have your roots planted deep in Christ. Get your strength from him. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's really interesting that in Hebrews 12:15, it says to make sure that a root of bitterness does not grow up, but we want to have our roots go down deep. So I would say, church, we don't want roots that are going up into bitterness. We want roots that are growing deep into God. I saw this little blip in one of my devotionals. It said, salvation is a gift, but godliness is a pursuit, which comes right out of 1 Timothy 4, meaning salvation from God is a free gift. Like, God gives it to us, but we have to pursue the growth. We have to pursue growing deep in God. And then the go out part, you know, as Merle referred to, Matthew 28, therefore go and make disciples. And this is where the challenge, I think, comes, because we have to look outside of our own lives. We have to look outside of me and me growing deep and me loving big, but going out and looking outside of these four walls. I mean, even Jesus came not to serve, not to be served, but to serve. And so he's our example. Go out, serve others.
Great. So let's do a quick overview of how this mission and vision came to be, how it was developed. I assume that there wasn't, you took all the scriptures that you've just referenced, threw them into Google mission statement maker, Google vision statement maker, and then plastered it all over the building. So how did it happen?
We did not do that, correct.
Good.
And so the Lord led us to do a process with a group of leaders here, representative group of leaders, about 40, 50 leaders met beginning in 2013 and through 2014. We met almost monthly for close to a year, and we spent time in prayer together. We spent time seeking God, and we spent a lot of time hammering out the words and the language for our mission, our vision, and our values. So it was a teamwork. It was a collaborative effort. It was hearing God's voice and heart for grace, and then working together to formulate that. So I call it the prayerful, prophetic, strategic planning process. I'm going to write a book about it and go on tour, but I'm really busy here at Grace right now. So,
all right, let's get really practical. That was just a transition. That wasn't really a joke, but thanks for laughing. How do we live this out? How can we actually put this mission and vision into work in our lives?
You go first.
Well, first of all, on a really, really simple practical note, we have to be aware of what the mission and the vision actually is. You can't fulfill a mission and walk, you know, head towards a vision if you don't know what it is. So how do we fulfill it is, first of all, be aware. But secondly, and I believe most importantly, is we have to keep a two-way focus with this mission and vision. And what I mean by that is, yes, we continually develop personally and grow personally in the Lord and our relationship with the Lord and becoming more confident in how much he loves me, that, you know, I spend time with him and I grow in him and I go after my own healing and I do what it takes for me to passionately follow Jesus, but I don't stop there and we don't stop there. We increase our heart and our love for others. We help others grow in God. We keep our focus on going out of these four walls. As soon as you leave these doors this afternoon, you have hit the mission field. You go out those doors and you are entering the mission field. And so our focus, I don't want it to be on just, oh, I learn to love big and I grow deeper and then I go on a mission trip and I get saved and I get healed and I'm passionately following Jesus. Yes, we want all that, but if that's all that we do, I believe we've missed like a huge part of fulfilling our mission and vision, because it's a two-way focus.
Amen. I think one of the strongest things we can do to practically apply this is to commit to not being the same person, that I would be more loving, I would be more gracious, I would be more patient, I would be more Christ-like next month than I am this month, and I would pursue transformation in my own life. So I think committing to that, don't let yourselves stay stuck. Persist, persevere, go after God. And he loves us so much, and he wants to change us even more than we want to be changed. But if we will partner, if we will cooperate, I think that's one thing that would be really strong. I would encourage us also to take more risks. Loving others is no guarantees. You can lay your life down for others, you can serve others, and it can end up really being painful. But Jesus knows all of these things, and he keeps calling us to love and serve, love and serve. So I would say commit to growth and transformation yourself, and then take some risks and put it out there for other people. You'll be amazed.
Yeah, I would say pour into yourself, but make sure you pour out to others. Pour in and pour out. I've used this illustration before when I've spoken, but you know what happens to a pool of water if it just keeps pouring in, and then it just sits there. It gets stagnant and scummy and dirty, and we don't want that spiritually, where we're just taking in, and it's just sitting there, and we're not pouring out. So two ways, pour in, and then, as Merle said, take some risk and pour out.
I want that. I want to not be that same person, so I want transformation. I want to take risks, knowing that the Holy Spirit is there. So what's offered here that can help me apply that? What's offered here at Grace that can help me take risks and grow deeper?
Well, in breaking it down to the different parts of the mission and the vision, I'm just going to speak some really practical things. As far as love big, you being here at a Sunday morning worship service is part of loving big. You're coming to love on God in a big way, to love on others, to have God's love poured into you. Loving big also, we're having worship nights every couple of months. There's a women's prison ministry where there's a group of ladies that almost every Saturday go to the prison downtown and minister to the women there. All ways to love big. And the list, the things I'm going to mention, it is not exhaustive by any means. Grow deep, small groups. JJ just talked about we're offering 7 new short-term small groups, all opportunities for you to grow deeper in God, in addition to the 25-plus small groups we also have. So there's small groups to help you grow deep. There's a wonderful Love After Marriage ministry that we offer here at Grace for married couples to grow deeper, not only in their relationship with each other, but in the Lord. Grow deep, being mentored. I'm working with a team of people right now. We've been for about 6 months or so, we've been working on, and we're still working on developing a mentoring ministry here at Grace, where if you want to be mentored or you want to mentor somebody, there will be an easy ramp for that to happen. High school students, the bridge. You tend the bridge, and that is a way for you to grow deep and to love big on others. And middle school students, 180, a way for you to grow deep. The go out part, mission trips. We send teams overseas. We've also got a 10,000 mega Easter egg hunt that we have right here on the grounds. That is a way you can go out, and you don't have to get on one bus, plane, train, or anything, but that is going out. As well as the harvest party coming up in October. Invite somebody who doesn't attend church. Invite them to come to church with you. Invite them to come to your small group. Grace East, our new campus that we're going to be starting in March out in McGackiesville at Spotswood High School. We're not doing that just because we're bored, we need something exciting to do. We're doing that to go out to help others grow deep in God. And as far as our vision, to see thousands saved and healed, healing nights. I mean, it is a wonderful opportunity and atmosphere to receive healing from the Lord. Catherine is working on developing an inner healing ministry. There's always Sunday morning. There's ministry time here. So there's plenty of ways as well. And I would just say that a lot of these overlap. As you're growing deep in one area, you learn to love big, which then motivates you to go out. So they're all kind of this together.
Amen. I would say just go hit the website. There's over 30 ways to be trained, equipped, or connected into the body of Christ. And I think God is amazing because he'll use every situation in our lives wherever stuff is going on, whether good or difficult, He will use that for our transformation and for our character. And so if we, whatever the circumstance, if we'll just say yes to God and embrace it. I've shared over the last few years, God's done a number of things to reveal and deal with anger and with pride in my life. And it wasn't because I went to the pride small group or I went to the anger management 12-step group. It was life happened, and God opened my eyes to what he was doing, and I said, yes, I repent, and he began to transform my life. So mowing the lawn, trimming trees, cleaning up trash around, he will use anything in our lives to transform us if we'll say yes to him.
Awesome. So I know that there are a lot of people here and First Service who are engaged with the mission in unbelievable ways. Can you share some stories about that? And then also, as lead pastor, a couple, how do you all engage with the mission, vision, and values? That's a two-parter.
I'll just answer what I want. I'll just say what I want to say.
It's not how this works.
So, examples. Well, I think I want to reiterate what Sue said earlier. I think sometimes we are doing pretty well and are pretty strong at the loving God and loving others and growing deep. And we get into that cycle, love, grow, and it gets a little self-focused. And the challenging part is to really let that spin out and impact people who aren't going to come. They're not going to be attracted to a Sunday morning worship service where they can experience God's presence. We've got to take God's presence out to people who aren't even sure they're looking for it and him yet. So I think that's the most challenging. And so one thing I would just say is pray. Pray for people who don't know Jesus. Pray that they would encounter the love of Jesus. Pray. So Sue and I prayed for a long time and we're continuing to pray for some of our neighbors. And then just in this past year, after months and months.
Years. Don't exaggerate. Don't under-exaggerate.
Yeah.
It was a long time.
My accuracy check, woman. So after praying and being nice and I don't know how many times I've shoveled her driveway and helped out, we had them over for dinner. And it was enjoyable. It wasn't that tough, but sometimes we just let in our minds things get bigger and more difficult than they really are. Go out. Invite the neighbor over for dinner.
I would say for me, like this question, I have a little hard time answering it only because I feel like it's sort of, well, this is all things I'm doing, you know. But I feel like it's important. I feel like it's important for you to hear what Merle and I and some of the other leaders are doing so you don't feel like, so you guys just sort of sitting on the bench or in the bleachers and you're like, you know, I hope y'all are fulfilling, because we're running with this as well. So for me personally, several examples are my passion, my heart beats for mentoring and discipling. And so I have a number of women that I meet with to mentor and disciple. Most of them are women in this church and in the community who know the Lord. So you can say, well, that, you know, that's easy, but it's not always. I mean, it's still a challenge to help people walk through some of their situations. I also have a young woman that the Lord just almost literally dropped in my lap who does not know Jesus. And I meet with her regularly, and I love her. Like, she regards what I share with her. I can challenge her on things, and we might not be on the same wavelength, but she regards me, and I love her. And I'm just so thankful for that opportunity. So for me personally, mentoring and discipling women, I love studying the Word, getting into the Word, having my daily time with God is a good way to love big and to grow deep. I do serve with like helping with the mega Easter egg hunt and the harvest party. I would say as far as examples for others, I met with a lady last week, a friend of mine, and she was saying she's considering, goes to this church, and she's considering maybe doing a Bible study with some women on her street. And I was like, that is awesome. I mean, it challenged me. I thought, that is awesome. And then there's a young mom that I meet with regularly. I love her dearly, and she's a busy young mom with young children, and she meets on somewhat of a regular basis with her brother to do Bible study. He's hungry to know more about the Word, and she's, you know, he comes over, and she does Bible study with him, and I'm like, yes, love big, grow deep, and go out. So, and I'm confident that there are many, many of you all in this room who are also walking out the mission and the vision, and I just say keep going after it.
Amen. Oh, this past week in staff meeting, we had a little impromptu testimony time, and a few were sharing their encounters in the past few weeks. So we had one staff member who was on vacation recently and was traveling through some airports, and in this one airport, a mother-daughter, young girl and her mom, were having a meltdown, and that's always tough in a public place. And so the Lord just kept nudging this staff member, Brenda, and so she goes over and she starts to coach and encourage the girl so that she will quit hyperventilating and will calm down, and tells her you can talk to Jesus and prays with her. And then she gets really stern with the mom and says, you need to calm down and quit stirring your daughter up. And so if you get out of line in church, I'm calling Brenda, and she will get stern with you as administrator. No, she's stellar. Another story one of the staff members shared was working in local retail and regularly praying with people in the parking lot as he was helping load and unload, and praying with them in the aisle of Lowe's. So if they're hurting, if they need help, pray for them right there in the store. Ask them. But yeah, just in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in your school, you can love people the way God loves you.
Yeah, I would say we're engaged with some sort of mission, whether we intentionally are doing it or not. And I know for me, if I could be a little bit more intentional about engaging with trying to see thousands of people healed and passionately following Jesus, that's a whole lot better of a thing to be engaged with than whatever I might come up with on my own. The other thing I would add is, if you're a man, sorry, ladies, but you had got an email this morning about Vision Quest, and there's a team that coordinates Vision Quest. I don't know who they are, but I do know that they coordinate this event. It's a men's retreat. It's in October, and it's a way that they go out and invite us, and it's an opportunity for us to go out and invite other people who don't know the Lord or who don't have a church. And so I would strongly encourage you, if you're male, register for Vision Quest and go to it and bring some people who don't know the Lord. They will by the time that weekend ends, I guarantee you that.
Amen.
So let's talk a little bit about how or what it looks like for this mission and vision to get accomplished. What's the end game here? How do we know it's working?
Well, it takes engagement. First of all, it's not going to be accomplished by just wearing the bracelet or the t-shirt or drinking out of the coffee mug or reading it on the back wall. Like, it takes engagement. Nothing gets accomplished just by dreaming about it or talking about it. We have to walk it out. Habakkuk 2:2 says, "And then the Lord answered me and said, 'Record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run.'" We've got to run with our mission and our vision. How do we know if we're making progress? When we hear testimonies of people being saved, of people getting healed physically, emotionally, spiritually. Another way is when we see ourselves and others taking one more step closer to Jesus, being changed from glory to glory to glory. And I think another way we can tell when we are making progress is when we're inviting people who don't yet know the Lord. We're inviting them to our small group. We're inviting them to a Bible study. We're inviting them over for dinner or to church, or, you know, we're reaching out to people, whether it be our neighbors, our suite mates, or we are reaching out to people. We're inviting them into our lives. That's progress. That's progress.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's life by life, sharing with one another, taking initiative, and story by story, being real about what your failures are and where God is breaking through and giving you success. So I think it's story by story, just being authentic and saying this is really what's going on, and then life by life, making an investment and taking initiative in people.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, when we run with it, when we run with the vision, it's not a, oh golly, I need to do this so that God's going to be happy with me. That's not, it's because I love God so much that I want to run with this. I want to get whole and complete in my own life, and I want to give that to others. Paul in 1 Timothy 4 said to Timothy, take pains with these things. And these things were just right before that. He's talking about people growing up in God, basically. And he's saying, take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress may be evident to all. And that's what I want. Like, Lord, I would take pain with, I would be absorbed with walking in the mission and vision of this church, and that then our progress will be evident to all.
Okay, so if people fell asleep after the first question or because they saw me up here, first of all, I'm sorry, you missed some awesome questions and like mediocre answers. But please wake up, because we're going to provide a sort of a summary here. So if you can just give us some takeaways from talking about the mission and vision, why we talk through it, how we walk it out, for those people who are just waking up.
Yeah, so if you're just waking up, here's everything you missed for the past 25 minutes. From a really practical standpoint, some of you, maybe this is your first time at Grace, or it's about your third week, or you're newer to Grace. And us rehearsing and talking about this gives you a chance to hear why we exist and where we're going. And it gives you the opportunity to ask yourself, could I be on board with this? Could I make this church my home? Do I want to come back next week? I do. I'm coming back. I'm excited about what God's doing at Grace right now. But maybe you've been here for years, and maybe you were, you know, thinking, oh, here we go again, talking about mission and vision again, like yawn. But you know what? It's really good to continually rehearse the mission and the vision, because it helps us to keep our focus. We can be so distracted, not only individually, but even as a church. There's a lot out there to distract us, and there's stuff going on, and there's, oh, wow, that church is doing that, and this ministry. It helps us to just, okay, bring it back to, why are we here? What has God called us to? So whether you've been here for your first time, 3 weeks, 30 years, it's a good time. It's a good opportunity for you to rehearse, why are we here, and where are we going? And the main takeaways that I would want you to walk out with, and I said this before, is that our mission and our vision is two ways. It's not just about all of us here at Grace loving each other and growing deeper and, you know, going out every now and then. Like, it's not just about that. It's two ways. Yes, I get my healing and I grow deeper, but then I take it out to people who don't have this knowledge of Jesus yet. My last takeaway would be, yes, this mission and vision is ultimately accomplished because of and through the Holy Spirit. But church, we need to run with it. Amen. Just like the prophet Habakkuk, take it and run with it in order to accomplish it. So my closing thought would be, engage, family, engage. Take the mission, take the vision, and run with it. Leave this building today and go for it. Run.
Yeah. I think I'd like to close by sharing a story, but before I do, I would ask you. We got to know you a little over five years ago when we were doing premarital counseling with Melinda and Aaron. So what has God done as you've participated in the mission and vision in your life?
Yeah, they asked me this question without it being on the script in first service, so I feel
you
more
your
prepared
practice
now.
Now nail it.
Right? Yeah.
He's not sweating now.
No.
First service, you're sweating.
Probably. I sweat all the time. I think the thing that strikes me is this two-way piece of things. I think about how I'm here, and it's a miracle. I have no business being here. When I reflect on how unlovable I am and then reflect on how recklessly God loves me, it is a picture of love big, of receiving love big. And that compels us. It compels me to want to know this God who loves me, even though I am, in all honesty, pretty unlovable most of the time. And so that helps me to then grow deep in more of who God is, which transforms you. And then from there, the only response is worship a God who loves us so much, and then sharing it in any way you can with any person you can. And that doesn't have to be weird or super high-powered thing that is unachievable. It's spending time with people, sharing who God is in you. If you carry Christ with you, spending time with people is going out. So I would encourage you not to make it this thing that's way too difficult. Oh, I can't do that. I'm not a pastor. You are doing it. So own it and ask the Holy Spirit to empower you and embolden you to do it more and more.
Yeah. Earlier this summer, Sue and I had the privilege to have a double date with a couple who'd been coming to Grace for 5 or 6 years, and they came separately and then left as a married couple, and God just sent them to another place in South Carolina. And so they were having dinner with us to just say a goodbye officially, and we spent 2.5 hours at least more listening to them talk about God's goodness and how much they have grown and how much they have been healed of while they said yes to God while attending Grace. And they both got involved in small group. We got to know her because she joined our small group pretty quickly after attending here. Got to pray through a lot of the challenges she had as a single mom on the home front in the workplace. Got to pray with him multiple times on Sunday mornings as he was letting God penetrate his heart and get the God loves me from head knowledge down into an experience in his heart that really began to change everything. And so they just rehearsed the power of prayer and people walking with them in their lives in small group. Prayer Sunday mornings after the message coming forward, entering into worship and having God's revelation of his goodness and his love deposited in their heart, coming to healing nights to get breakthrough in some areas, coming and receiving prophetic prayer at different times. So prayer was their testimony, the power of people praying and God doing what only he can do. And they just kept taking the next step and kept taking the next opportunity. And I would just say, like Sue, engage with God and the body of Christ. He loves you so much just the way you are, and he loves you so much he doesn't want you to stay there. He's transforming you for eternity, and it starts right now. That's what Cindy Perry reminded us of a few weeks ago. So let's stand. I'm going to close just by reading the Matthew 28 passage in the Message paraphrase. I want to bless you to go with the love of God to everyone you meet everywhere you go. And I want you to come for prayer for anything. So the ministry team, while I'm reading this, ministry team, come quickly forward. People are going to come for prayer. Here's how the Message paraphrase encourages us to go. Jesus went ahead and he gave them this charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet far and near in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded and taught you. I'll be with you as you do this, day after day after day, right up until the end of the age. So, Lord, I bless each one here with more of your love, more of your Holy Spirit, and I pray you would send us out, change us into Christ-likeness, and change us for your glory, and make us ambassadors of your love, forgiveness, and grace everywhere we go this week. In Jesus' name, amen. I bless you to go, church, and I invite you to come. The ministry team is ready to pray for anything in faith that God will hear and change. Love you, church.